This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3392 for Tuesday, the 3rd of August 2021. Today's show is entitled Structured Error Reporting and is part of the series Haskell. It is hosted by Tukuter Oto and is about 29 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is Tukuter talks about how she improved build times by breaking down error reporting to smaller parts.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello, this is Tuula Turto and you are listening to the Hacker Public Radio. Today's episode is about error reporting. In episode 3020, I talked a little bit about validation in Haskell. And then I have been working on that a little bit more and improved how the errors are now reported. So this episode will sort of continue from that episode. So back when I wrote the error reporting, I basically wanted to have a unified way of reporting errors so that when the server sends an error report to the client, it's always in the same format. It's in a JSON response that has a machine readable code for the program to the client program to process, and then it would have some human readable message that can be shown to the end user. And how I originally wrote that, I had a one type error code that had that basically enumerated all the possible error cases that could happen on the server side. By the way, all the quite a lot of the code I'm talking about in this episode will be in the show notes as usual. So that error code had long list of possible errors that could happen on the server side. And then I had four helper functions, error code to status code, which takes error code and returns an integer. And this one is for turning for deciding what HTTP status code the server should be returning. So for example, if there's if the client tries to update the intrigue stat of the person in the game, that defines how good that person is in the intrigue. And if that updated value is too low, then we would be raising the stat is too low error code. And the error code to status code would turn that to the 400. So that would indicate that it's a bad request. Another function, status code to text, takes this integer status code and returns the byte string. This is for the HTTP response again. So for the 400, it would return bad request. And then the actual meat of the problem, error code to text. This takes the error code and returns a textual representation of that, something that can be shown to the end user. And in this case, it will be stat intrigue is too low. And then the final function is raise if errors. This takes a list of error code and returns handler for app unit. This is the thingy that the handler function, that's the function that is handling the user request, calls when it wants to raise an error. If that list contains any error codes, then it uses the these three functions I mentioned earlier and constructs the HTTP response. So in our case, it would be HTTP 400, that request, that would have a body, a response body of JSON that will contain an array that will contain an object that would have a code element containing another object that has tag status to low and contents intrigue. This is the machine readable part. And then it will have an error element that contains stat intrigue is too low text. This is the part that is gets shown to the user. And this worked pretty fine. I was happy how this worked. But this has a problem. All the possible errors are enumerated in one type. So that type will grow longer and longer and longer. And every part of the system that wants to report an error is referencing to that type. Meaning, whenever I add a new error to the enumeration, then all the places that refer to that type, that depend on that type, will have to be compiled. And of course, that triggers a cascading effect, because all the modules that refer to those compiled ones need to be compiled, and so on. So the bigger the type grows and the more places it is referred, the slower the compile time will be, because it requires quite a big compilation. And I didn't like that. So I wanted a solution and thought that I could break that error code type into smaller types. So instead of having one huge error, I would have for example, person creation error type that would list only the errors that would happen when you are creating a new person. And then there would be a account error that would list all the errors that relate to the account. And these types would be defined in different modules close to place where they're used. Which means that if I add a new person creation error, then only that module will be compiled and all the modules that depend on that module. So there's still a recompilation going on, but there's a lot less recompilation going on. But here's a problem. But I cannot have a list that contains two different types in it. Like that raise if errors takes a list of error code. And if I have multiple types, I cannot put multiple different types or values of multiple different types in the same list. The list always has to contain the same type. But I decided that I worried that a little bit later. First, I wanted to split the huge error code type into the smaller types. So I defined person creation error that is just enumeration of all the errors relating to the person creation. And then use the template Haskell to derive to JSON and from JSON functions for this specific type. These functions can be used to serialize and deserialize person creation error to and from JSON, which is what I'm sending and receiving from the client. And then I wanted to have a way of getting the HTTP status code and that error description. Previously there were defined as a functions that took an error code, but now I have to work on a multiple types, so answer was to define a type class. Type class is sort of kind of similar than interface in object-oriented programs, but slightly different, because In object-oriented world, when you define an interface, you define a set of functions or methods that you have to implement when you implement that interface. In Haskell, that part is the similar. But in the, for example, in the C#, when you define a class that implements an interface, you have to implement those functions and methods when you are defining the class. In Haskell world, when you are defining a data type, you are not actually telling that this has that specific type class. You are doing that separately. So you can have a data type, and then you can, in addition to that definition, you can define the type class instances for that. Which means that if I come up with a completely new type class that I need, I can define instance of that for the already existing types. I can, for example, take the Boolean type and say that here's the instance of my type class for the Boolean. So I'm adding new functionality that can be used to handle the Boolean without having to modify the Boolean. That's the big difference. So I defined a type class called error code class A, and the definition goes like class error code class A, where HTTP status code, a double colon A, arrow int, description, double colon A, arrow text. This means that any instance of error code class has to have two functions defined. It's HTTP status codes that takes that data type A and turns that into the int. And then there has to be the description function that takes that data type A and turns that into text. And these are the ones that I'm using to turning the person creation error into a HTTP status code and to the user readable message. That status code to text that I mentioned earlier, that takes the status code and turns that into the HTTP message, like a bad request, for example, that I could use as is. I didn't have to modify that, because that takes an int and returns a binary, byte string, sorry. Okay, so to define the instance of error code class, I just wrote instance error code class person creation error, where HTTP status code equals slash case, stat is too low, arrow 400, and enumerated all the cases. So HTTP status code is a case analysis basically. So if it's a if the error person creation error is the stat is too low, then I'm returning 400. If I have a could not confirm date of birth, then that's 500. That's internal server error. There's something really fishy going on in case if a person doesn't have a date of birth. And then the description is again a description equals slash case, stat is too low, s arrow stat plus s plus is too low. S is the textual that's the name of the stat that is too low. So when I'm raising a stat is too low error somewhere, or creating a stat is too low error somewhere, I have to tell what stat is too low. Is it intrigue, or is it a diplomacy, or is it a martial skill, or something else? So I have to tell that this specific stat is too low, and then it's reported to the user that, hey, by the way, you tried to do something funny, or the program tried to do something funny, and this stat is too low. Somebody has to fix it. So, and of course, since I had multiple types of different kinds of error, I had to define this error code class instance to all of those types. It's pretty mechanical work. You just list all the error cases that you can have, decide what HTTP status they should result to, and what textual representation to the user should be given. But then the bigger error. So I need to way to put these different kinds of error into same list, and that's not something that Haskell can do. In Haskell, a list is always the regular list is always of all the values inside of it has to be of same type. So if they have to be a same type, I thought that maybe I could just have a helper type and wrap these specific types into that type. So I defined a new type as data ecode A equals ecode A. So this defines a type ecode that has a one constructor, also called ecode, that takes one parameter A. So it can wrap anything. But the problem here is that the resulting type is a ecode A. So if I'm using it to wrap a person creation error, the resulting type is ecode person creation error. And if I use it to wrap common error, then the resulting type is ecode common error. And these are different types. So I needed a way that I could wrap values of types and somehow lose the type of the wrap value in a way that the resulting type would always be the same. So and then of course another thing is that I need that the previous definition that had only the data ecode A doesn't have A can be anything. It could be integer, or it could be a boolean, or it could be some map, or any type. So I cannot turn any type into a error report. All the data that I wrap needs to have a instance for the error code class, and also I need to have an instance for the to JSON, so that I can serialize them to the JSON data and send them back to the client. There's several ways of doing this, but I chose to use generalized algebraic data types, GADs for the short. That's an extension that has to be turned on. That's not in the standard Haskell, so I had to have a pragma language GADs in the top of the file. And that allowed me to define the ecode as a following data ecode, where ecode double colon error code class A comma to JSON A tick arrow A arrow ecode. So what that means is that defines a type ecode that has a one constructor also called ecode. That constructor takes a one parameter A and returns an e-code. And that A is constrained. It has to have instances for the error code class and to JSON. So it has constraints, which is what we wanted. And also the resulting type is e-code, not e-code A. So we essentially have, with this constructor, we can wrap suitable types. Resulting type will be ecode, so we have lost the type information there. We know that that value that has been wrapped, it has instances to the error code class and to JSON, so we can still use functions from those type classes. But that's all we can do with that. So we still needed a way to turn this E code into a error message. But that was easy because everything we wrapped with the E code has error code class, type class defined to it. So I could just define instance error code class E code. So I'm defining an instance of error code class for the E code, where the status code is just is HTTP status code HTTP status code R, and description is description R, A. Meaning that when you are asking an HTTP status code from the E code, it's the HTTP status code of the wrapped value, and description of the E code is the description of the wrapped value. And then I wrote a instance of the to JSON E code, so turning this E code into JSON, so I can serialize it to the client. I wrote that instance by hand. I could have derived that automatically, but I wanted to have a final control. I wanted to decide by myself what is the format and structure of the JSON. The code is on the show notes, but basically it's just when you are serializing E code, you are creating a JSON object that has three fields: HTTP code, that is that status code; fault code, that is that wrapped value turned into JSON. So in case we have for example, error first name is empty, then that first name is empty because it doesn't have any parameters, it's just turned into the string. So fault code will be first name is empty. In case it's a stat is too low, that takes a where the constructor takes parameters, then the fault code will be an object that has tag, stat is too low, and contents intrigue. Tag is the constructor that was used, and contents is the all the values that were passed to that constructor. That is the machine readable part, and the error description is the description A. That's the user readable part. In our case, stat intrigue is too low. And now I could just define the recursive errors in terms of the list of E code returning handler for app unit, meaning this is a function that you can call from the handler function, and it doesn't return any values. But if there's errors, it will send a status JSON. The code is on the show notes, but basically, first we check if the list contains any errors to begin with, and if it does, then we take the first element of the list, call HTTP status code function to that to get the status code. And if for some reason, even if we checked for the contents of the list, if for some reason it would be empty here, then we would be using 500 internal server error. The message is the status code to text function called with that code. So for example, a bad request or internal server error. And then we would call send status JSON, give it the status with the code and the message, and body of errors turned into the JSON. And this works pretty neatly. So since all the errors, so this uses E code as a parameter, so I cannot give a stat is too low value to here. I have to wrap it to the E code, so I have to basically call it e code dollar status too low quotation stat intrigue quotation mark. And having to manually wrap everything to the E code gets a bit tedious. So I defined a helper function status too low that takes a text and returns an E code. And that basically is just status too low s equals E code dollar status too low s. So it doesn't contain much logic at all. It just takes that string that you give to it, you uses that to create a status too low value and wraps that value into E code. So that just makes things a little bit easier for you to less typing, basically. It saves a little bit of typing. And another thing is, if I at some point in the future, sorry, if I in some point of the future decide that I want to change how the internals of this error reporting works, I can just change the internals and then update all the functions that I'm using to create these error values, and hopefully wherever these functions are called, don't need to change at all. So I'm a little bit future-proofing here, but the main idea is that I just wanted to save a little bit of typing. And this works pretty well. I get a faster compilation times. I get the same error messages on the client side as before. And this is nice. There's a different solution to this problem. Like, instead of having those wrapping everything into the E code and having all those different types that you use to create those errors, I could have just defined one record called E code that would have field HTTP code that is int and description that is text. So instead of having a typed errors, I would just use record. Whenever I would want to report an error, I could just create a new E code record, put a suitable HTTP code and suitable description on it, and that would work just fine. The drawback with that approach would have been that I would not have any control over what gets reported. I could have a HTTP code 1234 and description something funny happened. Or I could make a typo somewhere. I would be reporting I wanted to report with a error code 400 and I could mistype that accidentally to 499. And compiler wouldn't be able to catch that. Of course, I could still have a helper function status too low that takes a parameter of text and returns an E code. And inside of that status too low function construct this E code record. But I just basically decided to go with the first option when I was thinking about this. There isn't that big difference in the end result. Actually, the end result is the same. It's just little bit difference in the internals of the machinery, how the things work. Okay, that's it. So this is how I broke one huge error code type into smaller types and improved the compilation times of my project. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, I can be reached with an email or at the Fediverse, where I'm tuturto@tech.lgpt. Happy hacking!
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.